Hi, this is Zachary Hill.
And this is Maria Buyukos.
And you're listening to Creative Honey. Hi, everyone. This is the, the first episode of Creative Honey. And we're going to be talking about, a lot of different creative topics, just a wide variety of things to talk about, in the creative world and kind of what it means to be creative today, both the kind of the good, the bad, and the ugly. What do you think about that, Maria? Does it sound pretty fun?
It sounds good to me. We both have had a lot of experience in a variety of creative fields, and we don't want to just stick to design. There's plenty of amazing opportunities to hear perspectives from all the areas within the creative realm. So we're really excited to be bringing that in and to you guys.
Maria just mentioned design. To give a little backstory on ourselves, we're both graphic designers, and we started a creative studio, graphic design and illustration, called Hill & B. And we've been up and running for a little while, and we have a lot of fun doing what we do. It's definitely stressful at times, and it's hard work to run your own agency and to do some of the things that we do. So we want to, talk about what's good about what we do and why we kind of love what we do. And I know that's really popular these days, but we also want to talk about, the lows and just kind of some of the realities of, the creative world. What do you think?
Yeah. We have a really organic approach to how, we reveal our lives, and, it's not always going to be, as I say, sunshine and rainbows. So it'll be really interesting to kind of reveal to you guys about what we're going through, what the process is, and things that we're learning are throughout our, experience and trials with our agency. And, hopefully it'll be something everyone in the creative field can relate to, because, we're all trying to make it, and it's not always how we expect it. But there's also a lot of really incredible things that light us up and keep us going forward.
Yeah, for sure. There's definitely a lot of inspiration out there. And I think, just because of the internet and social media, I think we see very curated points of view or kind of lives that are posted on social media. So we see always kind of the highs and the best parts of, a photographer or a designer or an artist or an architect. We're always seeing the best of them, which is good. We want to be inspired, but we just kind of want to, highlight those things, which is important, obviously, because, there's a reason why we do what we do, other than making money, of course. But we also want to kind of say, hey, it's not, it's a business. It's hard work, just like if you were a banker or a doctor. We're not saving lives or anything, but, we think that we can make a difference with some of the creative stuff that we do. And also, I think we can make it, make a difference with creativity. I'm kind of a big fan of that. What do you think about that?
Oh yeah. Creativity, it branches out into so many areas of life, not only visual, but, emotional and mental. And it's incredible to see how creativity, and design and all that can go into campaigns that can help people. It can go into, making information easier to read and relate to. It could be used to bring up, social issues and simplify it in a way that is really impactive. A lot of people are pretty visual, so that's one way, but through music and poetry and all these incredible mediums humans have developed for expression have really, it's cool. Definitely. To see it, how it all comes together.
Yeah, no, I definitely agree. So there's a lot out there to be inspired by, and that actually kind of leads us to the first topic that we're going to kind of, talk about today. And the title of this podcast is called Inspiration Saturation. And this topic was inspired by an article that we read about that Illustration Friday posted. Just to give a background with that, I mean, when I go through Facebook, I've kind of, you know, everyone has their Facebook feed, or most people do. I've kind of curated my Facebook feed to kind of, you know, make it where it's like nothing but articles. Like, no offense to, you know, the people that I have friends with on Facebook that are posting personal things about themselves. I think that's has value in, you know, social media community. But I've kind of, you know, just turned Facebook into a literal news feed where I just want to find articles and, you know, just get immersed in information. So I digress, basically. But back to the point where I stumbled across an article and I shared it with Maria, the Illustration Friday posted. Illustration Friday is a blog that kind of focuses on illustration, obviously, but it's going to post different articles about creativity. And they kind of posted an article about how today we're really maybe overly saturated by, you know, just inspiration. You know, we have so many outlets to us that we could, I guess, access to get inspired by and to emulate even. And, you know, when are we overdoing it? I guess, when is there too much inspiration, you know? And, what do you think about that, Maria?
Well, it's interesting that, you know, he brought this up because it's interesting to see, like, having been a design student, you know, how things when I was in school, like, started to morph towards how they are today. Like, I was part of that swing generation and I was studying landscape architecture and, you know, Pinterest had come out. I think it was like my second year there. Yeah. So we were still in that weird generation, but still people were Googling a lot and, mm-hmm. The teachers were trying to inspire us to have more organic, stimulation, you know, from the environment around us. And, a lot of people were using, you know, Google and all that as a crutch then, and then forget about it by the time Pinterest came around. That's when things got really crazy.
Yeah,
no,
totally. Yeah, to give a little bit more background that between us, because I think it's relevant to this topic today, is that you know, Maria has a background with landscape architecture. That's what she studied. And I studied graphic design and illustration when I went to school. And I just think it's interesting. We kind of had debates in the past about this, how different our education process was in each of our schools. And we both are a big fan of our schools. We have definitely school pride. We'll probably talk about our schools in greater detail in the future podcast. But, you know, like Maria just kind of talked about, her inspiration was a little more organic and she found it kind of off screen or away from the internet, where my background or educational background, we were kind of, I was sitting through design lectures and illustration lectures where we would literally just go through slides of really, really inspirational, you know, work, you know, or whatever you want to call it, from designers and illustrators. And, you know, it was kind of hard to avoid being a little inspired and kind of initially emulating other designers and other illustrators. At least from my experience. So, I just think, that's kind of, you know, an interesting balance we have to have today, you know, to, you know, be original, but also be inspired, right?
I mean, yeah, definitely. It's really tough nowadays to kind of ward off all of the inspiration that is thrown our way. And it's just so incredibly accessible. Like, you know, if you're not even trying to find the inspiration, you're getting it, whether you like it or not, through all the social media. When you're on Instagram, you're getting tiles of beautiful imagery. When you're on Facebook, you're getting well-designed ads and posts and, you know, all these things that are just in your face, whether you like it or not. And you have to think about, like, oh, does that influence us subconsciously? Does that lead us to make these decisions in our creativity that are still influenced at a core level just from our surroundings, but now it's through, like, more literal things. Like, it's not like you're taking a walk in a park and letting what's around you inspire you. It's like well-designed, well-curated things everywhere.
No, yeah, I think it's a good point. I mean, I think there's some value to having kind of, you know, information, you know, access, you know, information available to you, you know, at a high level like we do today with, you know, the internet and just the technology we have just literally in our hands. You know, so I think you bring up one good point. I think it's important, first of all, how curated, you know, the information, you know, is sent to you. I guess, like, you know, are you curated, like we talked about earlier, how my Facebook feed is curated. Like, I have certain things sent to us or sent to me, you know, that I'm interested in reading. And, you know, when it comes to, like, Pinterest, for example, I mean, we have a lot of followers on our Hillenby Pinterest, I think partly just because, you know, we're really careful about what we pin and, you know, what we decide to collect, because it's almost, we get to be art collectors and design collectors today, you know, through these social media outlets. And I think that's exciting. But again, I think Maria is right that we're not taking as many walks through the park or going to art museums or finding inspiration off screen. So I think having a balance is kind of, you know, pretty important, which I think, you know, I know Maria, you were talking about earlier how different it was, you know, going to find inspiration kind of before the internet and going to find inspiration now. You want to talk about that a little bit?
Oh yeah, definitely. I mean, when we were kind of talking about this, this little point of conversation here, I was thinking about how I got to experience this, like I said, a bit because I was in that swing generation. But back then, not in the very distant past, you know, when you wanted to find out something, you wanted to get inspiration. I mean, you would like go spend all this time checking out awesome books, magazines. Like you would literally have to pour through things, physically flipping pages. Well, like
I'm definitely old enough to remember that.
Right? Yeah. And same here. Like when I first started the program, we did everything by hand drafting, just sketching, renting books. I have like a huge stack of design books that we were required to get, and we had to look through them to how to draw perspectives. Now I can just go on Pinterest, like how to draw a perfect perspective. Oh, here's three easy steps, and it's illustrated so perfectly for you, you know, easy to understand, which is awesome in one way because we can learn things a lot faster and spend more time absorbing information. But, you know, as the title of this podcast suggests, you know, how much is too much, and do we ever have enough time to just be alone with the information to think, to ponder, or are the people thinking for us too much?
No, I think it's, again, a very good point. And I think the article that we found on Illustration Friday kind of talks about this, where we're so busy looking for inspiration that we actually forget to do the work that we're getting inspired from, I guess. Like, so there's so many people that... I've definitely fallen into this trap, and there's tons of artists and creative people out there that are so busy finding their inspiration through Pinterest or Facebook or Instagram, Twitter, and there's so many design blogs and magazines out there that we forget to do the work. You know, I know I've fallen into this trap where I'm more infatuated with looking at inspiring work and doing my own work. And I mean, partly, to be honest, it's one reason why we're doing this podcast and this blog, because we are inspired by so many other artists and creatives. I know I am, and I know Maria is too, that, you know, we just kind of want to be part of that process of talking to artists and then talking about their process and just being part of that kind of admiration world, I guess. But I think when we're just overly focused on that, we forget to do the work, you know. Mm-hmm. Another thing we talked about was, you know, I think a byproduct of this saturation of inspiration is how more and more, you know, creative people are following trends instead of making trends. I mean, what do you think about that?
Oh, definitely. It's interesting how... I feel like styles are getting blown out, like overblown, overworked so much faster and easier, because all it takes is like one style to come out and within a few weeks, like people are catching on to the trends and you just see the style everywhere. And then you kind of get burnt out on it. You're like, oh my gosh. Totally. Okay. Whereas like you know, I find a lot now that, you know, designers are emulating, bring, you know, really heavily the mid-century aesthetic. It's just so clean and classic. And it's interesting how we bring that back up again because it's just so well done. And now we see a lot of trendy things. Like, you know, there was always a joke about Gotham in a box, for example, is one of those trends that... Yeah.
Don't get me started on Gotham in a box. It's like everywhere.
You can't get away from it.
Yeah, no, you can't.
Overblown for sure.
Yeah, I mean, there's always like these running jokes and or trends, especially in graphic design. But I'm sure it's kind of true with every other creative field out there. There's like, you know, like one for example is you take like this picture taken in Prague or Paris or something like that, and you know, put some Helvetica type over it and desaturate the photo a little bit, and that's like a cool graphic design piece all of a sudden. You know, because, and I think that's became like a joke because so many people were doing it because, you know, there's so many people just to be blunt copying each other. It's difficult to avoid this circle. I mean, I know, to be honest, I struggle with it as a designer and illustrator, where, you know, am I being unique? Am I over emulating? You know, some people said that I have a really unique style, and I always appreciate that compliment. But sometimes I don't feel that way. I definitely feel that there's definitely a vein of illustration work that I fall into. And I think part of the reason why I fall into that vein because I've let myself be inspired by other illustrators and designers. And but my struggle is, I guess, am I letting myself be over-inspired? Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, I think you could definitely be under-inspired too. We've talked about that before, you know. So I think the key is to have a balance. What do you think about that?
Oh yeah, and this is interesting. You know, you bring up this balance because when we first met and started working together, I came in with like this kind of like strict idea of like putting myself in a sort of vacuum in order to like develop as many organic ideas as possible. And I had this like thing like, oh, I don't want to look online for inspiration. It's going to tamper with my ideas. And he said, you know, Zach was like, oh, you know what? Like, it's not always that bad, you know, it might be a good thing because it might take you in a direction that you wouldn't have otherwise, you know, thought about. And again, I was like super stubborn about this because I was also in fashion design and I was like, you know, I need to create all these pieces, you know, isolated. I want to really make new trends on the market. And when I'd go to at shows, after I'd have a runway show, people come up to me like, oh, so, what designer inspired this line? Yeah. I'm like, they're like, your designs remind me so much of blah, blah, blah. I'm like, who the heck is that? Like, I literally didn't even know who was out there because I was trying to put myself so much in a vacuum, but I've learned a lot of value from what Zach has shown me with like actually, you know, using work to inspire and stuff. And it's, I was like, oh, actually, you know what? This is kind of cool. And I've actually adopted some of that and kind of made like a little hybrid, which has actually been very pleasant.
Yeah, no, I think that could be the best way to go. It's just to have a balance. You know, I think like I just kind of talked about, you know, a little while ago is that I struggle with maybe kind of just taking in too much inspiration. I think that's why when I read this article, it really kind of inspired the first, you know, podcast we have here because we were kind of, what are we going to talk about first, you know, in our podcast? And just this, like, this, I think this article is really important to touch up on, I guess, because, you know, I think a lot of creative people struggle with this because, you know, I think following trends or being aware of trends is important, you know, because, you know, for a lot of us, we're working for clients, we're working for other people. And, you know, clients especially, at least in our business, the graphic design business, they want to see their product or their brand look like what they've seen before. They know what they, you know, especially since there's so much information today, kind of going full circle here, clients are more educated and more aware of what they like than ever before at the end of the day. You know, we'll literally ask clients, like, find us two or three websites you like or logos you like, right? I mean, we've done that before. And Because you know, you can't slip anything past clients at the end of the day. They know what they want these days, and you know, so you know, following trends or being aware of those trends is important. But I think a lot of creative people want to make new trends, so it's important to have that balance.
Well, it's also interesting you point out, you know, how it affects the client's relationship with the designer and their view on the work, because it also makes the client more like of a design dictator. Like that's the kind of hard thing to work around, because now they're so convinced of a style that they're like, this is exactly what I'm, but like, you can't even offer sometimes like, well, have you thought about this? Like, maybe this doesn't quite fit your brand. Like, it's a nice idea for this brand, but, and they get so stuck that it actually like makes it extremely difficult at times to brainstorm, to actually like philosophically speak with the client, like, cause they're so focused on how it looks and they want to be just like that. Like, it's like that keeping up with the Joneses thing of the modern times. Yeah.
Yeah, no, for sure. So I think the way to kind of do it is just, you know, be inspired, you know, especially, you know, for me, what I've been trying to do more lately is, you know, find inspiration from what's been done before you, not what's being done now, and kind of seeing how you could kind of remix it in your own way. I think, you know, kind of Maria touched upon that kind of mid-century movement that's kind of reappearing in a lot of graphic design today. And I think that's happening. And I think a lot of designers are having success doing that because they are trying to find what was so timeless about some designers in the past. I mean, I know a lot of people listening to this will recognize, you know, Saul Bass and Paul Rand, et cetera, and the work that they did, you know. There's a level of timelessness that existed back then that honestly probably doesn't exist as much today. And to kind of, you know, to have like an inception moment here, I think one reason why their work was more timeless is because they didn't have that level of quote unquote inspiration or visual information that was literally getting shoved down their throats. We don't have that. They don't have that. And we do. We turn on our computer or our smartphone. And we just have information just thrown in our face instantly. And they didn't have that. So maybe that's one reason why they were able to kind of make the things that they made. And I think a lot of creative people are kind of struggling with that today, you know?
Oh, yeah. And it's like, it feels like, you know, there are a lot of craftsmen and artisans in design that are doing it like the old, kind of the older fashioned way, which is awesome because it has so much heart to it. But, you know, there's nothing like buying a photo app, you know, in which to edit the appearance of your photos. And then they have all these preset, like, hipstery like fonts or these design fonts, right? Like they're pre-designed stamps, like everything's so pre-designed, like it's at everyone's reach, so you can't really
I've kind of seen a couple of apps where it will literally perform some Photoshop things that were literally 5 years ago considered like a magic show. You know, it's like, how did they do that? Now there's like an app for that, which is kind of crazy, because, and I know that a lot of other podcasts and people kind of beat this whole, you know, horse to the ground or whatever the expression is, where, you know, there's so much, like, technology has made it so easy for people to be creative and for people to be photographers, designers, musicians. So it's easy to fall into like this pit of normalcy. I don't think that's even a word. Is normal? Normalcy is probably not even a word. Sorry about that.
No, it is
normal. Yeah, normal. Oh, okay.
Normalcy is a word. It just
I don't know.
Context.
I haven't studied English in a while, so I'm off on my grammar game. But anyway, hopefully you guys know what I'm talking about. Like, it's easy to fall in this kind of pit of doing the same thing that everyone else is doing. It's just easier to do that, to fall in that trap. And sometimes you want to do that because you want to please the client. But I think any creative person at the end of the day wants to have their own niche or have their thing that they do really well. And, you know, just do it not only in a really, really kind of awesome way, but do it, you know, we want to be a little unique at the end of the day. I think that's why a lot of us fall into art or music writing because they want to do something that hasn't been done before, right?
I mean, oh, yeah. And I think because of all the automation that's going on, like, you'll see big trends in designers and artists kind of going backwards in time and doing, like, manual methods, going back to, like, tried and true methods, because it's, like, it's not fun anymore. Like, you used to be like, oh, man, you're a Photoshop pro. But now I remember when, I think it was when CS5 came out, they had introduced some new features. I remember being in design school and my classmates were like, oh my God, look, it could just take this whole thing out. You don't have to do anything. Like, I remember because I would do a lot of Photoshop, like Photoshop work for product photography and all that, for catalogs and stuff that used to take me, like, I used to do by hand. It was really tedious. I mean, you could just press this one button, everything would just be automatically done. Definitely. I was like, oh my God, at that point, I was like, they're taking away the craft that I like really enjoy. And so now I think people have that need to feel like, you know, in touch with what they're doing. And so there's this a trend we're seeing that, you know, people are actually going back to hand-drawn things that have like this, they more have authentic. The tools, authentic. Like, it's really fun too to get back and get a pen in your hand and start doing things that way as well.
Yeah, no, I think you're touching on something important, Maria, and something that, again, you know, these topics aren't, you know, incredibly unique. I'm sure,
mm-hmm.
you know, people listening to this podcast have heard these topics being addressed before, but, you know, software and technology again today has made it so easy to be a designer. Like, anyone could pull out a computer, download the Creative Cloud and say, I'm a designer now, and which is great. But as a result, it's so important now to you, like, your ideas and your design thinking or your creative thinking is more important than ever now, because that's going to be really what sets us apart or you apart from any other designer, photographer, whoever, you know, whatever kind of creative industry that you're doing. That's how it's going to set you apart at the end of the day. So, you know, when going back to following trends versus making trends, I mean, I think going deeper into that idea is ideas, you know, like, that is what's important at the end of the day. Like, my first graphic design teacher, one of the first things I remember him saying to me that really stuck was, a thinking designer is a working designer. And that really just kind of resonated with me. And I totally forget about this sometimes because I'm still learning. I'm not a perfect designer by any means. And sometimes I just forget, like, oh, I'm overly worried about aesthetic or how I'm using Illustrator, Photoshop, and I'm forgetting about really hashing out and developing the idea behind an illustration or a design. And I think that's what's going to set us apart at the end of the day. And that's how we can absorb this inspiration, the saturation of inspiration, and use it to our benefit if we know how to control it and just know how to use it to really just create new ideas rather than regurgitating ideas that we see literally every day.
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely. And I think a good, you know, potential solution as designers to address this whole oversaturation in your face thing is, you know, just force yourself to take time away, you know, go dark for a few hours of your day. Take a walk, go visit a cool part of town, you know, get inspired by what's around you and spend time thinking and philosophizing. You know, the best ideas in the world.
I like philosophizing. Yeah. We're making up cool words today.
Yeah, you know.
Yeah, I know. Totally.
That's how we do.
That's awesome.
But I thought it was a real word. Oh, shoot. I didn't go to college.
It could be.
Just kidding.
I don't know. I just think even if it's a made up word or not, philosophizing is a super cool word.
It is.
Yeah.
I think we should just keep making words up.
I agree.
This is good.
We're so creative over here.
We're creative.
That we make up words during our podcast.
It's great. We should have our own dictionary.
Yeah.
That could be.
Like a creative dictionary.
Coming soon. The Zach and Maria Jargon Dictionary of Awesome.
I know we're kind of going off topic here, but philosophizing is still a cool word. But anyway.
So back to philosophizing.
Yeah, philosophizing. Kind of on that note, you know, we're going to wrap up pretty soon, is you talked about kind of like subconscious inspiration when we were talking about doing this first podcast here. And, you know, I don't know what you exactly mean by that. So please explain.
I think, you know, I'm a huge fan of human psychology It was really embedded in my architecture curriculum. I don't know. I think that what happens is that, you know how like when you have a dream about something and they say that like it'll seem so random, but they say that like really what your dream is pulling stimulus from parts of your day and kind of mixing it into like this movie in your head. That's, I feel like if that's happening with your dreams, like your brain is like on record all the time. Like things that you may not even realize are going in there, are everything's going in, you know? And so I feel like sometimes you may even think you had like an original idea, but maybe you just happened to be walking by a really awesome sign. At the time you just were like, oh, that's a really cool sign. But your brain like marked that as a stimulus.
Definitely, that's definitely a good point. I think that, yeah, definitely happens and probably should happen. And I guess we should be more receptive to, I guess what you're trying to say is like natural inspiration where it's unforced.
It works both ways. It could be like the negative side of subconscious infiltration of all the stimulus is when it comes from too much social media. But there's a natural that's where inspiration comes from, is like that subconscious like feeling that you get when you're interacting with your environment. So good subconscious stimulation is, you know, interacting, being a human being, walking around, experiencing your surroundings. And then I think the negative subconscious stimulation is when you're on digital media constantly and you're just flipping through thousands of images like within an hour. You know, that's like way overload, and that I think is going to influence you in a way that can take away from when you do find something more organic when you're out and about.
No, I think definitely think that's a good point. I think kind of as we wrap up here, I think then what we're trying to say at the end of the day is just have a balance between what you're inspired by and how inspired you let yourself be by other designers, by other people, you know. And at the end of the day, I think the ideas that you have are more important than the aesthetic and some of the stuff you're inspired by from other designers or artists. So yeah, I guess that's it for the first episode of Creative Honey. We want this to be our organic and to just kind of see where it goes, you know. I mean, we eventually kind of wanted to do this some kind of, you know, like once a week or something like that, but you know, we just want to kind of reach out to other creatives and hear from them and, you know, just kind of tell you guys our stories and things that we're interested in, and hopefully it's resonating with whoever's listening in some way. And we want to hear from you if there's like topics or articles that you think we could talk about. You know, definitely let us know.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So
it's really cool to hear from the creative community and things that concern you, things you want to hear about. It's awesome to be able to get that kind of community feedback, and we can all support each other and help each other through the little creative path that we're all
taking.
Totally.
Yeah. I mean, I think one reason why we're doing this is because, you know, we just want to reach out to other creatives or people, even if you're not a creative and you're just interested in the creative world, you know. It's easy for us to get lost behind our computer or our camera or our guitar or whatever creative tools you're using and kind of get inside your own world. So, you know, we kind of want to just, you know, do what we can to kind of make a community, I guess, and or at least contribute to a community. So we definitely appreciate you guys listening. And, you know, stay tuned for future podcasts. We'll be doing some interviews and, you know, we'll have a blog that kind of goes along with this podcast. And again, we'd love to hear your opinion on what we cover today and maybe some stuff that you want us to talk about in the future. So that's it for now. Thanks, guys.
Thanks so much. We'll talk to you soon.